Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live today from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated. And everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. It's incidentally why the economy is working so well. My very special guest today. Let me preface this. Did some Googling of this man. I already knew who he is. A Google search will reveal two things. Somebody's popularity and somebody's demonization. And by goodness, did a Google of Foster Gamble get me some demonization, mate. No, seriously, it was like stack to bottom, Thrive as a libertarian propaganda movie. Thrive as a, and I was just like going through this. It's just cracking me up, bro. It's like I know, basically, I didn't learn anything apart from maybe the Taurus and the structure that I hadn't heard from other sources. And when I was first told about this film, my friend had told me that it was the perfect first DVD to give to somebody who knows nothing about the entire game itself. You tie all of the stuff together, but the problem is that the conspiracy research field is so vast that you simply cannot cover all in any length of film. It's not possible. So when you come up to somebody who's done a film that exposes many, many, many different sectors and areas in a professional manner and come up and then criticize them for not covering certain things, mate, you don't know what the editing process is. Have you ever seen the director's cut of Aliens, for example? There's an extra 45 minutes of film in there, mate. But they cut it off because, hey, you got to move the story along sometimes. So, without further ado, Foster Gamble from the thrivemovement.com. My honor and pleasure and privilege and various other nice adjectives.
Thank you, Vinny. It's great to be with you. I too, am a great admirer of you, your show. I love your spirit. I love that you're having a good time while you're getting independent media out there and that you're willing to go anywhere and everywhere in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of like a trisexual like that, but... Could I ask, though, could you preface for the listeners just a little bit about yourself? Because I also did a little bit of researching about the company Procter & Gamble, of which you're basically one of the heirs, maybe. And I was thinking about this. It's literally the From Cradle to Grave Corporation. They manufacture both diapers and pharmaceutical drugs that'll kill you.
It cover both ends. Well, yeah, my great-great-grandfather was James Gamble of Procter & Gamble. And when they started that corporation, you know, it was highly respected and well-run, and that's one of the reasons why it was so successful. You know, for me personally, as a organic vegetarian, the fact that most of their products were based on animal fat, you know, I would have wanted to start. But I actually have a lot of respect for some of my relatives who were involved early on. But like so many other companies, as they become huge, and as people like Dick Cheney go on the board, which he did for 8 years in the 90s, you know you're now a part of the of the military industrial complex. And it's been out of the hands of, you know, the families that started it for many generations. No one has been involved in the running of the company from my family for several generations. And the amount of stock that my entire clan holds now is minuscule compared to the value of the stock of the company. So the only leverage that we can have is occasionally we go, you know, we do petitions with them, and occasionally we go public to try to embarrass them into changing their behavior. And it's been somewhat successful in some areas. We've been instrumental in helping them make some decisions to curb some of the pollution. We've helped to get rid of over 90% of the animal testing that they used to do, and we're working on the rest of it. But they don't have any organic products. There's just very little consciousness there. It's absolutely a market-driven, profit-driven company at this point. So I will be grateful forever to my ancestors for creating enough value that I ended up inheriting some of that so that I could spend most of my life trying to figure out what's really going on planet Earth that's in the way of our thriving, and what can we do about it. And thrive really is the result of that search.
This reminds me of an argument that I had with my girlfriend not more than 2 weeks ago, Foster. She comes home from work. She does really, really hardcore landscaping, gardening, that kind of stuff. She's a tough girl. And when she comes back, she doesn't watch documentaries, doesn't watch no YouTube videos about conspiracies, doesn't listen to any radio shows, nothing. And I asked her why. And actually, I tried to quiz her. You know how there's so many keywords and things like that, you know? If I was to say to you, every time I say a word that you recognize, nod your head, 9/11 was an inside job, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Federal Reserve Bank, Quantitative Easing, MK Ultra, Project Monarch, Project Mockingbird, Project Pegasus, you know, so on and so forth. You can go through. And she knew everything that I knew. And this was surprising to me because I didn't know that she knew all this stuff. And she wasn't doing anything about it. And I asked her why, and she got kind of defensive about it. And it was like I had to try and explain to her the reason why I wanted to know why she wasn't doing anything wasn't because I was trying to back her into a corner. It was to see that she wasn't really happy doing what she was doing, that she was really tired, and she wasn't creating anything and no business of her own or anything like that, and like I'm doing. And she said something that kind of, it should be so obvious, but it somehow escaped me. She said, "I'm just too tired because I've got a job to do during the day."
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the thing that is holding back the entire human race, isn't it? Employment.
Well, I think it's been obviously an intentional part of the plan to make sure that people, if they live at all, that they're tired, that they're sick, that they're confused, and they're in debt and pressured by their friends not to talk about anything controversial. But I thought you were going to say that your girlfriend knew about all this because maybe you talk in your sleep or something.
Well, I do talk in my sleep. Apparently I do it quite loudly, and I'll wake her up, and she'll hear me mumbling something, and she'll be half asleep as well. So every now and again, she'll be able to remember one or two things that I'm saying or whatever. You know, like, for the years for bubbling is like, I'm going to expose some
come back. I'm going to defeat the New World Order.
Yeah, it's not very romantic, Vinny, to be mumbling about the Trilateral Commission in your sleep. Got to find some new comment, some new content here.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of new content, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about this whole concept of working, and just basically I was trying to convince him that he was a slave because he had a job, right? Here's the problem that I have with society. It's not that having a job is actually bad. It's that working for somebody else who's ordering you to do things that you don't want to do, that you don't think are right because you haven't got any choice, that's what I define a job to be. If you're doing something that is creating, solving problems and making a profit and actually doing some good in the world, that's called a career. And people have not got the choice anymore. The careers are drying up because now you are forced to become a very, very, very resilient entrepreneur if you want to get ahead in this world. And if you are getting ahead far enough, you have to be brought into the fold in order to be controlled by the higher ups. This is what happens. As soon as you get too far up along the corporate ladder, brought in or taken out. Isn't that true?
It seems to be. I can't remember whether it was Mark Twain or who said, find a way to get paid for doing what you love and you'll never have to work another day in your life. And, you know, having grown up going to elite schools and in kind of the Eastern establishment and so forth, I can't tell you how many people I have met, you know, that I knew from back then or who've contacted me since the movie came out and have acknowledged to me that they've spent almost their entire life climbing the ladder only to find out that it's up against the wrong wall.
or leading up to the wrong light bulb that needs changing.
Yeah. You know, speaking of your girlfriend, that it's been very interesting for Kimberly and me to be doing a lot of this research and writing Thrive and doing the website and so forth together. First of all, it's been fantastic as a couple just to be able to talk about all of these things and brainstorm with each other. I'm so much smarter with could be without. But we had to make ground rules of, you know, she finally let me know, you know, I don't want to hear any gory stories, you know, after 10 o'clock at night. I don't want to be going to sleep with these things as the last thing in my mind. And for me, it was like, don't start my day with these things. So, and she was also very helpful. She was not only the producer, but the director of Thrive. She's a very talented director and comes from a famous Hollywood family. And so she was directing me on set when I was doing the narration for the global domination agenda section of the movie, which is the heaviest part for people, particularly who weren't aware of it before. And I'm a pretty mild-mannered person, but I can get kind of wound up when I'm describing what a few people are doing to destroy billions of lives every day. And so she would say, okay, well, I can really feel your passion, but now let's one more time and let's come from your confidence about the way out, because that's why we're making the film, and allow the viewer to have room for their own emotional experience. And it took me quite a few takes before she finally said, that's what I was looking for. And when I took a break, I came off the set, and probably half of the crew was in tears. And I looked around, I thought I was just talking about global domination and their move to tears. So something just happened here. And that was a real quantum leap for me in learning about the power of feminine energy, where rather than ranting about all of this craziness and trying to stuff my, you know, wisdom and insight down someone's throat, if I just came from my experience of it, delivered the facts and let people have the safety to have their own emotional experience, then it's much more powerful for most people. And I think that's one of the reasons why Thrive has gone viral all over the world, because you need to watch it. You know, young people are wanting to give it to their friends. People are taking it into their workplaces. School teachers are showing it in high schools because it has a tone that she would help me to find that doesn't just drive people away or sound completely crazy.
It's kind of like a projection and absorption thing.
Yeah.
whatever you project, everybody else absorbs in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, some radio show hosts, I will turn them on, and it actually starts to stress me out and almost curl into a fetish listening to them for a number of minutes, and it has to come off again. It's like I've evolved past that now. I know that being incredibly upset and angry about everything sometimes happens, but you become so much better as a person if you come from love and actually caring.
Yes. Well, that's one of the things that I have really enjoyed about your show, and I'd actually like to hear a little more from you. Know, one of the things I like about your show is that it's more of a conversation than just an interview. So you're one of the few people that I've seen who can be cracking up and having a great time while exploring the deepest and most critical issues on the planet. And it's something that people are asking me about a lot. You know, how do I keep my sanity while I'm letting in all of these big and threatening truths? So I would love to know a little bit of what you pass on to people in terms of how you keep your humor. How do you keep your spirit and your sense of, you know, love and caring while you're dealing every day with this kind of information?
Because I have to, simple answer.
Yeah.
There's no alternative. Okay, if you're... laughter is basically my heroine. All right. Without it, I get the shakes, and I get and I get the sweat, booming voice, and I start talking about documents. You know, that kind of thing. If I'm not laughing, I'm not healthy.
Yes. Yeah, I saw an interview a while ago. I think it was like a year or two ago, where Alex Jones interviewed David Icke. And Alex was gone on, you know, he was on a rant about, you know, some current events that were happening. And, you know, he's such a tremendously information and, a total warrior for freedom. And he was getting wound up in his rant. And David would just keep coming back to talking about how all of this fits in the picture of human consciousness and freedom and caring and really fundamentally the experience of love. And by the end of the interview, Alex was totally in that place. He was having the time of his life. And I remember him saying at the end of the interview, he's like, "Whoa, this is a usual interview for me. You know, why don't you come back on soon?" And I think he was back on within a couple of days. So it's really the possibility for all of us is to expand our consciousness to include all of this truth, but not lose our spirit.
Well, in other words, we must be aware of it, but shed our fear of it. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Foster Gamble is my guest from Thrive Movement. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Schwarzenegger sense of the word when I wear my skull and crossbones belt buckle at my political rallies that I got from my uncle who used to be in the SS, yeah. And it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, ladies and gentlemen, because in a world so full of chaos and mess, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. And it's very, very true. And I am surprised... And how unique the show is, Foster. I don't know if you've recognized this too, but if you want to look for people who are talking about the scariest, most terrifying, horrible things in the world and make you laugh your ass off at it, there is no alternative to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and that actually irks me somewhat. Where are all the comedians out there who are like-minded with the truth movement who have decided to host radio shows? Because this is
this is basically like free therapy for everybody on a daily basis. And by goodness, we have suffered so much trauma simply at the hands of being exposed to this information that we need a daily dose of relief.
You know who the only other guy that I've found who is skilled at bringing the humor into this while staying with the truth? And I know that you interviewed him with Stefan Molyneux. I saw your interview with him, and you know he wasn't particularly in a humorous vein in that interview. But I've listened to a ton of his podcasts, and I was with him this past weekend at Libertopia in San Diego, and he gave two talks that were absolutely hilarious. I mean, truly, you know, stomach ache, tears down the cheek, hilarious, while talking about what's in the way of our freedom. So I told him that I would love to see him with his own HBO special. You know, it'd be like Chris Rock with really deep insights into freedom. Maybe you two guys can do a show together sometime with really a comedic vein, because it allows people to hear such deep truths, but in a package that is digestible.
Rock, because that reminds me of one time we were watching TV and my sister was there, and it was Chris Rock, and he's using the N-word, and he does, and he's just absolutely hilarious, just cutting through all of this BS and just getting straight to the hilarious goodness about how crazy stuff is in the black community and all of that sort of stuff. And I was hurting, you know, just as you said with Stefan, with the tears streaming down, and my sister was asked me, why is that so funny? And I and I said, because he's black and he's angry and it's freaking hilarious. All right, and she got really angry with me, and she said, and she called me a racist, and she clicked off the TV and wouldn't let me watch it. I later found out that that sketch was called Chris Rock Blacker and Angrier.
Well, there comes a point, as you well know, when you see how simple the scams are and yet how deadly they are, where it's just too much to contain. You know, you can't not speak up about it. And at the same time, it's a challenge to process all the emotions, to have them burst out in ironic laughter and, you know, centered clarity, rather than just blind fury, I think is a good strategy.
Yeah. And speaking of which, in pharmaceutical drugs, you know, when people get depressed or they're upset or something like that, they'll give them things called, I think they're called beta blockers, right? You know, and I was just thinking about this over the break. Beta blocker, better. You know, yeah. And it's like, the truth of things is there, but you can't think about things in a straightforward, literal context. I was trying to describe this to somebody, how to deal with me, right? Because she didn't understand my humor. And wow. I said, don't take me literally, take me laterally. And she goes, what's the difference? Okay, well, you know what's ever literal? It's right down the middle, right? Well, off to the sides of that.
Well, you know, I know that... I've got friends who are police officers and firefighters and emergency room nurses and doctors and so forth. And they all find in their cultures a way of seeing the humor in it while being deadly serious and competent in their jobs. And I think in the job of evolution and revolution that we've found ourselves in, it's critical to be able to fit in a larger context. And I know that when, you know, somebody sent me recently this bill that was just passed by the U.S. Congress, is H.R. 6566. And it's basically a bill that's cited as the Mass Fatality Planning and Religious Considerations Act. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it authorizes, of course, a bunch of money to empower, you know, more coffins, faster cremation at these FEMA centers. Like when they're ordering 1.2 billion hollow point bullets supposedly for target practice, where no one uses hollow point bullets for target practice. And they're building and refurbishing these FEMA camps. And then they put in this bill to help cremate people faster, to keep particularly the Jewish and Islamic religions happier that their people are getting buried within the day or 2 days or whatever their particular protocol. I mean, all I could do was just crack up laughing and then, you know, feel the depth of my grief about, you know, this planning is not going on for nothing. You know, today on the news, the major banks are coming out with their warnings about going over this financial cliff, potentially within weeks, you know, within months, if not weeks, or days. So, again, anybody who still thinks that this is coincidence, you know, when you look at the NDAA and the Military Commissions Act and the Cybersecurity Act and the, you know, RFID chips and the big pharma and HARP and the prison stocks soaring and the indoctrination. You know, either you or I could go on and on and on. What I've found is that if somebody's willing to immerse, even for a couple of hours, I've never seen anyone actually go back into thinking that it's not true. And really, that's one of the reasons why we created Thrive and boiled what was 300 hours of film down to 2 hours of film, so that someone could just hand it to their friend rather than try to convince someone of these threats and the possibilities, you know, in some 10-minute social conversation. Instead, if what we're finding is if people say, hey, I got a lot of value out of this movie, it's well done, take a look at it, and if you're interested, let's talk, people are responding really well to that. And then having conversations, whether they're older or younger, or Democrat or Republican or Whig or Tory or conservative or liberal, whatever, they're getting together and having really profound conversations by the millions, where the basis of the conversation is not what party are you in, you know, what color shirt do you wear, what's your excuse for taking people's money and then going out and, you know, attacking, to what the hell's going on in the world and what can we do about it that's based not on partisan politics but on freedom and on integrity. And around that, people are waking up and uniting all over the world. You know, in 10 months, over 9 million people have now seen Thrive. It's about 1 million a month now. It's in 20 languages. And people are just sharing it with their friends. And it's much faster than I thought. I thought it would take people months to just check out the information, integrate it, deal with the emotions, and then maybe move on to solutions. People are doing that within days or weeks. And as Kimberly and I are going from city to city, we've been to over 25 cities now, just visiting with, you know, we get packed houses everywhere where people are finally saying, you know, they're saying, finally, thank you for giving us a coherent story and some grounded leverage things we can do as solutions. And actually really encouraging to us to see the healings, to seeing, you know, it's confirming how bright people are and how incredibly profound the human spirit is, if it's just given honest information and a chance to collaborate with each other and stand up and do something about it.
And traditionally throughout history, I was talking with Mel Fabregas from the Veritas show the other day, and he said that traditionally throughout history, the critical mass is only 3% of the population. Mm-hmm. And this is what I found is interesting, because you may have heard the quote by Winston Churchill. He says, the best argument against a democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. it seems of itself evident, you know, anytime you see a Vox Populi thing going on through CNN or anything, really. In fact, they don't do those. When they do, they have to put it on Comedy Central instead, because they have to package the fact that the American public have become so dumbed down that they don't even know what party the president belongs to. In a lot of cases, they don't know how money's created. They don't know how the economy works. They don't know what the medical industry does. They don't know anything, and that makes them so easy to move. In a push in a particular direction, and we are being pushed not up, but down.
And what I see Thrive as being part of is the great pushback. And I believe the reason why I have an audience and the reason why you've got so many people is due to people who have been working long before since we came along to do these things, people who have been laying the groundwork. And we mentioned Alex Jones, and I credit Alex Jones almost solely with my motivation and my wake up and my propensity. Things because it was an inspiration to me, but the thing that I found was there was no alternative media thing like him in this country in New Zealand. I simply decided to become that person, but I'm me, not him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, he was very generous with us. He brought Kimberly and me on for a wonderful 2-hour conversation. You know, everybody was bugging him before he had seen it. And on one of his shows, he said, "Well, you know, I really haven't seen the movie yet, so I shouldn't comment." But and then he he couldn't resist, and he said, "I've heard this guy's a member of the Gamble family, so he must be an Illuminati shill." He went off on this rant, and the very same day, his producer had sent us an invitation to be on his show, and I have, you know, I subscribed to his list of his shows, and so I actually saw this rant that he did. So we wrote back and we said, you know, we've learned a ton from, we really respect you, and we'd love to be on your show after you've seen the movie if you still want to have us on the show. And so he watched the movie and he really liked it, and we had a fantastic conversation. It really is people doing independent media like you and like him and like more and more people around the world, and thank goodness for the internet. So people are getting informed, you know, so far and wide and so rapidly.
What percentage of the current television stations in the United States are owned by 3 or 4 giant media corporations that are controlled by the Illuminati and whatnot? Like 99%, 100%?
Oh, yeah, of all the major, they're all, the major networks are all owned by, down, it's 5 companies now. But if you follow those 5 companies, those 5 companies are owned by the same elite banking families, or at least controlled by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was what I found as well. And there was a, I think it might have been a Swiss financial study that they did a couple of months ago, I believe. And they were attempting to trace via ownership papers and documents what percentage of the world. And they determined that 70% of the world's wealth, conservatively, like highly conservatively, it might be nearer to 90-95% of the world. Right. Is controlled by less than 20 families, or something like that.
Yeah, and I've known some of these people, and they're not smarter. They're certainly not wiser than the rest of us, but they are in on the banking scam. And so if you can actually create money when you want to, you can get a lot of people to do a lot of nasty stuff, particularly when they're not aware of what agenda they're seeing right now. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. You know, we can all feel how things are ramping up very rapidly now. And for me, particularly in, well, obviously the police state, but in the areas of money and in the area of energy, things are ramping up very quickly. And I, you know, since Thrive came out, the single thing that we've had the most enthusiastic response to was the free energy. And first of all, people are excited about the notion that understanding Taurus dynamic, that's the fundamental energy pattern in the entire universe, can give you kind of the keys to the energy realm there. But also, the fact that there have been so many successful inventors and all of them have been suppressed. And people have gotten very excited since Thrive came out to learn more about this. So I've been approached by over 150 inventors already, credible inventors, in the power, water, and medical areas. And I want to tell you, I hear some music, so it sounds like a break's coming up. But after, I'll tell you some of the stories that are going on right now as we speak.
All right, Foster Gamble from the Thrive Movement. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back.
is about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
That's precisely what it is. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's all just a little bit of history repeating. Back in the day, there was some dude, and he figured out that all, that everything was fracked up, and so he decided, no, I'm not going to keep living a fracked up existence. I'm not going to keep planning to die. I'm not going to keep saving my money only so that I can pay for my funeral. Okay. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to get out there and just kind of do whatever the heck I want. Plans be damned. Chips fall where they may. I'm not going to worry about my rent. I'm not going to worry about my power or my phone or my internet or my career or any of this other sort of stuff. I'm going to go out and do what makes me really, really happy. And I'm going to get out of my own way. And I'm going to stop working for other people. Once upon a time, there were people like that. And they changed the freaking world. And those kind of people have existed all throughout history. And we kill those people, don't we? We tell them that they have got to get their head out of the clouds. We tell them that they've got to stop living a fantasy. They don't realize that life is the fantasy. Your dreams can come true. If only you were to realize that all of this false reality that they put in front of you is the dream. And the real world is when you're fulfilling your wants and needs and expectations. A friend of mine, I was talking to him yesterday, great guitarist, and he's suffering from depression. And I said, bro, if you were on stage and you were performing and you had a great band and you had fans clapping and chanting, do you think you'd still be on medication? Do you think you'd still be depressed? No. The reason why you're depressed is not because of a chemical imbalance. The reason why you're depressed is because you're not doing what you were meant to do. Foster Gamble from the Thrive Movement is my guest. Welcome back. Now, we were talking over the break about synchronicity, and our mutual acquaintance, Nancy Duterte, who was on the show yesterday, and in fact, you're going to be on her show tomorrow. So it's an interesting, meaningful coincidence there. And I was mentioning, and also I want to encourage the listeners to go to my YouTube channel. The video is called This Show Will Blow Your Mind, Psychic Lawyer Nancy Duterte and Vinnie Eastwood. And if you really want to kind of, it was the deepest, most revealing interview I've ever had. And I, at the end of the interview, I said to her, Nancy, I feel like a better man having had this conversation with you. And she said, Vinny, I feel like a better woman.
Wow. Now that's a real conversation. Yeah. Well, it's been really interesting since Thrive came out. We have, you know, some people go, oh, it's not nice. It's bad news. I don't want to hear about it and all that kind of stuff. But those who watch it all the way through know that it's wrapped in solutions and it's critical to... I've spent 15 years as a martial artist, most of it with the nonviolent martial art of Aikido. And I was trained and taught all of my students, you know, the first imperative of self-defense and protecting your loved ones is an accurate assessment of your reality. So it's critical to be able to hold all of this at the same time. But one of the things that's been very interesting since Thrive came out is we have been contacted by spiritual groups from all over the planet, religious groups, psychic channel groups, meditation groups, and on, who have consistently said, thank you for sharing this critical information, because if we're truly going to fulfill our potential as spiritual beings, then we need to balance what is inside us with what is outside of us. And that means a realistic approach to what's going on in the world, not hiding in meditation, but centering yourself in meditation so that you can deal effectively with what's going on while at the same time knowing that you are truly a being. And so one of the things that it's done for our network is really opened up the conversation around who we truly are and as boundless beings of consciousness. And this brings in the whole ET realm. It brings in the interdimensional consciousness realm. And we've been contacted by very knowledgeable people and, you know, contactees and ETs talking through, you know, people in hypnosis or sonic devices and all sorts of things like that. It's been very educational. But I'll wrap up that point by saying one little anecdote that it was around 1995 that I started getting very strong pull inside myself to figure out what's going on in the world really at depth and get it back out to people. And I made an agreement with the universe. I said, if you will give me the information that I need, then I will collect, archive, cohere it, and get it back out to the world in a way that people can digest much more quickly. So that day I put a small tape recorder in my pocket, a little digital recorder, and I carried that recorder night and day for 15 years. And I've got notebooks and notebooks of the inner guidance that I got. I would be woken up in the middle of the night. I'd wake up sometimes in the morning, and I had a dozen recordings that I had done during the night. And I was literally being shown everything from the structure of the inside of the shells of the atom, which as a scientist I was working on computer modeling at that time, to the inner workings of what's going on with the Federal Reserve and the hidden agenda. So Einstein said, you know, insight happens to the prepared mind. So you need to be curious. You need to kind of do your own homework to plow the field. But then if you're open, you will be guided by levels of your own consciousness where you're connected to the infinite energy that are so far beyond our rational mind. And I invite everyone, if they're not already experienced with that, find some of your friends and neighbors who are and begin to develop your own brain, your own mind in ways that you will not lose yourself. You'll find even more of yourself as you're connecting with your boundless self. And I'm sure, Vinny, with what you're aware of already at your age and what you're doing, that you must all be guided by an inner sense that is beyond just what you could figure out with your rational mind.
And the point behind that, to expand on it a bit, is that the rational mind is only part of the mind.
Yeah.
Okay. There is an irrational mind that goes on instinct, intuition. And one thing that Nancy and I noticed after being kind of getting out of your own way and just started doing what feels right as your intuition kind of guides you and tells you to do, is that suddenly you don't have any trouble finding parking spaces. Yeah. One always opens up exactly next to where you're doing. And I was telling my friend Jono about this yesterday. A listener sent me like a donation. It was Canadian cash and kind of thing. I was going down to the post office. And every single car park in the entire place was like full up. And then just as we roll in, a guy pulls out of the car park that's right in front of the post shop. And it's not an isolated incident.
Yeah.
And it's not isolated to just kind of things like car parks. It also relates to people that you meet, things that you do, movies that you watch, and it's everything. And I now about the duality between the rational mind and the instinctive mind, and that if you ignore one or the other, you lead yourself into trouble. A lot of people, when they go into high school and things like that, they get taught to ignore the instinctual and go straight with the rational. Here's this textbook, read it, and the answers are in the back, but you can't look at the answers. If you do, you're cheating. so that's that rational mind just kind of being corrupted into becoming, well, it's like you're ruled by a rational mind that's been taught that being irrational is rational. Right? Yeah. That's what the education system is designed to teach you. And to ignore your instincts, just going, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong. This doesn't feel right. Yeah. Why is there a bell going off every hour or something like that for me to go to a class like I'm some kind of dog, you know? Ding-a-ling-a-ling, come here, Fifi, come on. It's like it's like we're being trained in a domestication program to psychologically castrate the men and to mentally castrate the women.
Yes. Well, and obviously you're aware that it's no accident, that kind of programming is intentional. You follow the money behind those schools, and it goes back to the same families who are looking to create, rabid consumers and obedient workers and managers. And then the CEOs and chair people of the boards, get paid $50-100 million a year, not because they do such a good job, because they keep their mouth shut and stick to the agenda. Yeah, so one of the exciting things that I'm seeing is the emergence of real alternative education. Schools where they're much freer, where they're based around the curiosity of the child, rather than all of these bells and standardized testing and threats of discipline and all that kind of stuff, because that's what frees up our consciousness to do what's needed.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was thinking about, how there's a global conspiracy, right? And it goes into all these different sectors. It goes into education, it goes into business, it goes into politics, it goes into everything. So why don't we just hatch a counter-conspiracy? Instead of the pyramid's power going down, you actually change it so that the power goes up, so that you empower the individual people. A conspiracy of business with all these truth of business owners who form a cartel to force out these massive evil corporations and stuff like that and destroy their business interests. Products, that kind of thing. Conspiracies happen all the time. And baby, you got to be aware of that in order to survive it and overthrow it. We'll be right back after the break with Foster Gamble from the Thrive Movement.
Everyone's asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. At the end of the 2 hours, you should be like, whoosh, there you go. And time flies when you're having fun. Theory of relativity. Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about this over the break, Foster, is like, if you're trying to do the right thing, it's very difficult to make a living out of it. If you're doing the evil thing for evil people, by goodness, you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams, but you'll never truly have anything.
Yeah. It's a profound realization, and it's one of the things that my friend has been talking around the country and on her blogs, particularly to women in the East Coast establishment in the United States, is saying, if you know that your husband has gotten caught up in this agenda, and even though you've got the fancy lifestyle, you know that he's sold his soul out. Talk to him. Sit down and talk to him about regaining his soul, regaining his life, and actually being involved in co-creative activities that give you energy rather than destroy people's lives. So women can have a strong role in this.
Well, everybody can have a strong role in this, so long as they don't talk themselves out of playing a role, The human race is filled with such pitiful self-doubt that we talk ourselves out of doing the things that make us happy. We talk ourselves out of doing the things that would change the world for the better, and rationalize it by saying we're just trying to pay the mortgage, which is owned by the bankers, which they'll foreclose on us later.
Vinny, but before the break, you were talking about how the perpetrators of the agenda have really analyzed every major sector. And when they make their plans, then they Then they feed it down through the media and through science and through education and through the military and business and all of that. And you were talking about doing like a sort of a counter conspiracy. And I want to just let your listeners know that that's exactly what the Thrive Solutions model is. We have what we call the sector model, where we've got, you know, we touch on it briefly in the movie and then really on every page of the website. At the bottom of the page, we've got this new software vehicle by which you can navigate the sectors. So you can choose, do you want to go and explore education or science or arts or spirituality or economics or justice or whatever. And a couple of months ago, we launched the Thrive Solutions Hub. And the point of that is to give people who are interested anywhere in the world a vehicle by which they can link together with other people in their region, but also anywhere in the world who are working in the same sector and on specifically the same issues, and then share best practices. And we launched that a couple of months ago. There's already over 375 groups have signed up and are sharing class action lawsuits and flyers and resources and contacts and so forth. And this is how, if we have a whole systems approach, a decentralized network, so that there are no, you know, charismatic leaders who are telling people what to do or anything, but people are truly accessing their own creativity and can self-identify what's the sector of interest for me? What level of engagement? Is it immediate needs, systemic change, or the consciousness shift that I want to work on? Once you identify that in yourself, then you can even have your activism be totally aligned with your purpose, your natural skills and affinities, and then you can relax into doing what you're here to do while knowing that the other sectors and the other issues and so forth are also being handled by people for whom that's their calling. So you don't have to burn out trying to save the world by yourself. You know, like you said, it actually was in your in the segment that you did on COINTELPRO, where you ended it by saying, don't let yourself get isolated. So many people have gotten isolated. So I recommend people go to thrivemovement.com, go to the Solutions Hub, and then self-identify and connect with one of the groups near you or one that's working on your issues, or start one, because you'll feel effortlessly connected with like-minded souls all over the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking about how these people who are in the industry have kind of sold their soul and such. And I had on a woman named Tila Tequila a couple of days ago, who's been in Playboy and done porn and been in the entertainment industry and all sorts of things, fashion, TV shows, and the whole works, right? And she's come out and said that it's basically Hollywood is a massive satanic mind control program to instill people fighting with each other, people being debauched, people being sick, people being dependent on drugs, and anybody who comes out and speaks the truth has their careers sabotaged or their cars stolen or they get killed or something like that. And what was interesting for me, Foster, is that people were coming out saying, yeah, I know all that, Tila. Tell us something that we don't know. Tell us something we don't know. As if her coming out and having attempts on her life to tell people things that some people already know ain't worth it. Like, it's...
Well, as you probably know, that's some of the treatment that I've been getting, too, where I spend my entire life, virtually all of the money that I've had or made, Kimberly and I risk our lives. We spent 8 years making this movie, 3.5 years putting together the website. And then somebody says, oh, their logo has one eye. So this guy must be an Illuminati shill. Don't pay any attention. Well, you know, if that's the level of thinking that we had to count on to turn this whole mess around, we'd be in trouble. But fortunately, it's not, because usually those are, you know, our paid trolls. And like you were saying earlier, it only took 5 to 6% of the people in America to fight the Revolutionary War, and Ken Wilber says it only takes 10% to entirely shift a paradigm. And cultural creatives in America, Europe, and Japan are already at 30 to 35%. So it's really just a matter of getting people the right information. There's already the energy and the expertise. to turn this thing around?
Well, it's kind of like the way waves are formed is by how strong a wind is blowing over how long a time. It will cause a ripple on the water, and that ripple cannot be stopped. The energy travels. The water itself doesn't move. An energy wave actually travels through it until it hits something. And yes. What I believe that we've now done, Foster, is we have become the wind makers, and the ripples are forcing out, and they are heading towards land. Yes. Now, people now have a choice. They can either stand on the land and let this wave wash over them, or they can paddle out to meet us.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of expressing it, because, you know, from my studies of physics and metaphysics, a wave really is a metaphysical phenomenon, and then it shows up in the air, or it shows up in water, or it shows up in tree branches blowing or something like that. But it's actually a pressure differential in a sense that is metaphysical, and it's the same way with the wave of consciousness that is growing, is that can't be stopped. Even if they take out a person here or there, or, you know, undermine somebody's credibility, the ideas themselves, the consciousness itself, is at this point, I'm convinced, unstoppable. You know, I think that the transformation is going to be very messy. I think it's going to get worse out there for many, many lives before it gets better. But I really believe now that it is unstoppable, that they won't be able to permanently shut down the internet, that they won't be able to dumb people down to where the waking up wave that is going on can be stopped. So I'm actually more optimistic than I have been in the last 15 years. And I'm happy to say that we've been traveling a lot around this country. We're going to to Australia in November, just a couple of weeks. We're doing the Thrive Solutions Summit tour of Melbourne, Sydney, and Gold Coast. We were also invited to come to Perth and to Auckland. We didn't have the time to do it right now, but we're really looking forward to coming back there. I've only been to New Zealand once, but I absolutely loved it and loved the people. And the Australia and New Zealand are two of the areas that are the most awake in their response to Thrive. So, you know, we will be there as soon as we can.
Oh, thanks, man. I'd like to meet you in person as well. That'll be cool, bro. And another point, this, you talked about how you got independent people and you had like some 317 groups signed up, right? Have you ever heard of the expression trying to herd cats?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Cats are independent creatures. Cats are independent creatures. They're hunters. Right. They're not herd animals. Neither are we, okay? Now, the thing is, you don't need to herd cats unless you want to control them or exterminate them.
That's right. You
just let the cats wander. They'll take out these nasty birds. They'll eat the rats. They'll catch the snakes. They'll do all that kind of stuff. So long as you give them a nice place where they can be comfortable at the end of the night, where they won't be under threat while they're asleep, sort of thing. That's how the feline works. And I've talked about this thing called the tactic of the cactus. For each conspiracy in every part of the world with economy or pharmaceutical drugs or whatever, for each mechanism of the conspiracy that's affecting you, I can guarantee you within that town, within that state, within that village, there is one person for whom that issue is their speciality. And through the independent collaboration of people, like a cactus covering itself in spines from every direction, it becomes unassailable without the assailant getting a little prick to remind them what a stir it is, you know? Yeah.
Well, let me pick up on that for a moment, because I think it's a really critical point for people to understand. And you know, as a scientist, I watch the lack of progress of what they call the tokamak, which is this, you know, multi-billion-dollar project that is at Princeton University and other places, where it's been there for 15 years, producing virtually no results so far. Giant toroidal shape. But then what they're trying to do, I mean, they've come a little ways from, you know, burning things and exploding things, but now they're trying to fuse things. They're trying to fuse atoms together and then get the energy as it comes off of it. And of course, what happens is the atoms actually, they sort of band together, and then they burst through the sides of the of these steel walls. They create these little holes. And I've got this incredible by one of the lead scientists talking about how difficult these atoms are to control. They're unruly when you try to constrain and push them together. Well, yeah, guess what? Welcome to nature. And so it's exactly the same with human beings. And that's why the whole freedom movement will ultimately succeed, because it's about transcending this illusion of the need for an authoritarian state and actually letting individuals create their own businesses. An economy, a real economy, is the result of millions of voluntary exchanges, not something that you can control centrally any more than the weather is. If you try to mess with the weather or the economy, you get in exactly the type of disasters that we're getting in now with geoengineering and the central banking system. So that same principle of not hurting a cat, but just coexisting with a cat, you know, love a cat, invite a cat in, feed a cat if they need it, but don't try to control either cats or other human beings.
Hey, have you noticed, Foster, that there is no manly way to call a cat?
I've never heard that before, but it is,
you know,
so true.
You know, you go out and you go, puss, puss. The cat, all right, come. So you're like, okay, I'm going to try again. Puss, 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 puss. And the cat comes.
we have a cat here named, short for Bodhisattva, who is exactly that. He just comes around. He always sits in the center. Whenever we have a group Thrive meeting in our home, he always comes out and sits right in the center. And if someone's really hurting or confused, you know, he'll pick up his head and he'll go and sit on their lap for a while till they regain their center. We can learn a lot from these beings. And I'd be particularly interested to meet some of these feline ETs. I've heard a lot about them. I've never met one, but I have talked to some contactees who have met them and said that they're absolutely glorious, brilliant, loving species. So I'm not surprised.
Well, cats were deified in ancient Egypt as kind of guardians of the underworld, as if there's a spiritual element to them. And recently, in science, they've studied the visual range. You know how we've got ultraviolet through the infrared, the visual light spectrum, and that kind of thing. Well, right. Cats have an extra perception of the spectrum that no other species has. And I'm not sure what exactly the point of the study was, but they can see stuff that we can't. Right? They can sense things that we can't.
That's interesting. Well, let me go one step further in terms of this unheard ability, because you know, we've obviously taken this old macho notion of a crushing or exploding or fusing or fissioning energy about as far as we can without destroying ourselves and our atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. Well, it turns out that if scientists are sufficiently aware of this torus pattern, this donut-shaped whirlpool vortex, that is apparently the only pattern that sustains a healthy system at every level, at least the observable universe, of all of the free energy inventors that I have visited in their labs who have been successful at getting working devices, every single one of the devices is based on somehow honoring and mimicking, resonating harmoniously with this torus energy pattern. And when people do this, instead of fighting energy, when you dance with it, and then tune your device to particular octave frequencies and create this beautiful geometry, then nature just starts pouring out this beautiful energy, just like it does out of when you eat a piece of fruit or something like that. You get this beautiful energy. You get the spin that's in every atom of that fruit. And so that's the good news. You know, the bad news is some of your viewers or listeners might not know is that the powers that shouldn't be suppress this when it happens. And if that's the music, I'll tell you the rest of the story, because literally we've got a breaking story as you and I are speaking where an inventor has been successful and is being suppressed in the United States. And I want to start getting the word out.
Indeed. And then the call-in number is 218-339-8525, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Foster Gamble from the Thrive Movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man, expand the military industrial complex.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the show that's all about expanding the military industrial complex. And you know, what's interesting, you can either be a military industrial complex or you can look at it and think, hey, it's military and industrial, and it's not complex at all. It's actually pretty simple. They're just out to work together to kill your ass. Right, and speaking of which, there was this conversation we were having over the break about community. And during the Great Depression, you know, you'd like break down on the side of the road. Somebody would stop and help you. And apparently that was back like that in the 70s. I've talked to some of my friends who are like 50 years old and stuff like that, and they said, man, Vinny, I've only woken up in the last couple of years, and I've noticed just how much freedoms and how much community and how much of everything I've lost and that. And I said, well, bro, that's the reason the agenda has worked so well, because you have to live through decades and decades of it before you notice anything's wrong, and by then it seems too late. And in terms of creating a community, I feel that there's a resurgence happening, because companies that I've worked for, organizations that I've fronted or whatever, I've always felt that they suffer from the same problem, which is, I'm sorry, you've got a good idea and you may be doing the right thing. However, it's against the protocol. It's against the rules that we've got here. You know, it doesn't quite fit the mold. You're not quite good for this company. I mean, like, and it happens in school. It happens everywhere. I was suspended from high school 17 times, Foster.
you know, Vinny, I believe that. That's a good sign. Of course, depending on what you were doing, it probably wasn't for beating people up.
Well, incidentally, actually, yes, it was in the earlier part of it. I was suspended maybe 3 times for violence, and the last time it was when a friend of mine had stolen something from me, and he refused to give it back, and so I just kind of leapt on him and I pulled off a big chunk of his hair, just in the library. And then I took that chunk of hair and I walked up to the assistant principal's office before anybody had asked a teacher or anything like that. And I put the hair and I put the clump of hair onto his desk, and I go, "I need you to suspend me. I'm not gonna hurt any." The realization had dawned on me that every single time I physically hurt somebody, I always took the fall for it. Yeah. You know, like, I could never get away with it. Yeah. And that was the last time I ever laid a hand on somebody. That was when I was 15. And my father was really violent towards me. I was a violent kid all the way up to that. Uh-huh. My mother had had noticed this, and she got a nice man named Derek Haywood to kind of mentor me. He was he grew lavender in an organic farm and stuff like that, and he taught me to drive, and we'd hang out every week and watch movies and have dinner and just talk, or we'd go out and we'd hack away at gorse bushes and weeds together, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it occurred to me that all I needed to do was be understood and loved and not betrayed, and my behavior improved drastically. The negativity that I felt, the loneliness, the isolation, the hate towards other people that I felt disappeared as soon as I was taken out of that environment and put into a new loving and caring one. And it was a profound realization for a 15-year-old to have.
Wow. It's a beautiful story, because that's the, like, first of all, congratulations on being the one to break that legacy in your family. It's happening all over the planet, and people are starting to wake up to that you don't have to let yourself be bullied or shamed into taking abuse, whether it's from your siblings, your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your supposed political leaders, your military leaders. You don't have to take it. And if you do, then your children are going to be exposed to that whole thing. So it's really, this is the point in history where, with the weapons that are available now, with, you know, suitcase dirty nuclear bombs and biological and chemical weapons and so forth, bullying on this planet won't be tolerable by evolution itself, because people will get back at bullying authorities in ways that that will have huge ramifications. And with the internet, people are getting the information directly rather than having to depend on their, you know, their priest or their teacher or their parent or something like that, that it's not okay to be abused. People are getting it directly from their friends and from the internet, and starting to take a stand for the sovereignty and sacredness of every single individual being. And in terms of the liberty conversation, that's, for me, the biggest misunderstanding on this planet right now that's threatening our existence, is that we have been duped into thinking that the fundamental unit of humanity is the group or the community or the state or the nation state or something like that. Whereas all of those are ideas, they're names for collections of individuals. But the real sovereign entity is the individual. And that's why we say in our film that, with that as the core navigating insight, if we build our economic systems and our justice systems, communication, all of that on non-violation of the individual, on non-initiation of force, then I think that would really, before too long, we can be living in a healthy environment with a vibrant community on a really thriving planet. And if we don't get that one, even if we get the energy, even if we get money and so forth, our chances of survival are slim if we don't get that we need to start by honoring the sanctity of every single individual.
Well, the individual at the end of the day is the only thing that really exists. Kind of like, there's no such thing as a forest. There are only trees. A forest is simply an idea of a collection of trees, but you can't touch a forest.
That's right.
Because it doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when people are collectivist in nature, bear in mind that they are fulfilling kind of like a mission to their eyes of doing the right thing for something that they don't realize isn't there. It doesn't exist.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Larkin Rose. I don't know if you know him or have had him on the show. If you haven't, you got to get him on. He's right up there with Stefan Molyneux to me as the greatest philosophers of our day. And he's just come out with a book called The Most Dangerous Superstition. I recommend everyone go get this book. And it really expounds on what you were just so beautifully describing. But let me take this one step further. You know, I mentioned before the break that I had a breaking story in terms of energy, because I described how if you honor the fundamental patterns of nature, it will pour out this boundless energy in a clean, cheap, and safe way. But here's a story that's literally unfolding right now that combines the awareness of the sovereignty of the energy unit and the need for honoring the sovereignty of the individual human unit. So here's the story. I was contacted 3 days ago now through a mutual friend, by an inventor in the Midwest of the United States. And this inventor saw Thrive, was inspired to work on free energy, went and got an old device that has never been really successful consistently in accessing free energy, but it's got some good parts to it. He bought one of these things and started tinkering with it based on the geometries that he'd seen in Thrive. And the bottom line is he got it working. And he's been running his house for 3.5 months, his entire house, on a 7-pound device that he put together for a little over $100. And so the good news is that he built 3 replicas, shared them with friends. They're all running their own homes on this same device for nothing. And then the bad news is he was a little naive about the political condition out there. So he put up a YouTube video of himself installing this device, decoupling from the grid, and starting to run his house on this magnetic motor. So within a couple of hours, he had over 800,000 hits on YouTube. And within a few hours after that, he had Homeland Security pulling into his driveway. These last three days have been hell for him. They interrogated him for 4 hours. They took his son, who's 20, into custody for 16 hours and interrogated him without giving him any food or water for the entire time. They've cut off this guy's credit cards. They're threatening his life. And they made him take the YouTube video down. And here's the punchline of this whole thing, Vinny. You won't believe this. What the guy from Homeland Security said to him was, you have to stop what you're doing because you're interrupting the natural flow of society. What he really meant was, you're getting in the way of our control of energy and other people's lives. You're actually setting people free of energy and our political control if you continue to do this device. So fortunately, at that point, he called me. And I have brought in some of the top lawyers in the country and some of the top security people to come in and protect this guy and, you know, make him clear on what his rights are. And also to put out a warning to these agencies and the individuals who are trying to do this suppression, that this gentleman was not only doing a voluntary act, but he was planning on giving away this technology to the whole world. And so really what he's done is he independently created an invention and independently wanted to communicate it to other human beings for their own liberation. And what they have done, in addition to stopping his enterprise, was they have the NSA and the Homeland Security has clamped down on his free speech rights. So not only are we looking to protect his rights and get this technology out, but if they continue to do this, the lawyers are saying they have a very strong case, a criminal case, against these individuals for trying to suppress this person's property and their free speech. So as we speak, I'm waiting for a call back from the attorney to strategize the right timing for getting the specifics of this out, because fortunately they did not give up the location of these other devices. And prior to putting up the YouTube video, they did disseminate the plans that made this device successful as well as the video. So this is a tremendous opportunity to bring the whole world's attention toward protecting this brave individual and his son, but also using this as an opportunity to liberate this knowledge so the whole world can be freer and more prosperous by having access to infinite energy in a clean, safe way.
Well, I think we need to make this man a celebrity. Put him all over the internet, all over the radio shows, all over YouTube, you know. We need to saturate and make those people back off,
exactly. Okay?
Just remember what happens when you stir up a hornet's nest. It doesn't matter that each of the individual hornets seem to be small. When they sting you, it hurts. That's and when right. there's too many of them, you won't survive.
And I told him, make sure you get the badge number and names of every single one of those agents. Make sure you record audio and video on everything and get it out to remote hard drives. And the world will now be watching, and we will be protecting you and this information. So the time has come. So I'm still concerned about this family's well-being, and we're doing everything we can to protect that. But at the same time, I'm very excited about this breakthrough, really, for humankind and the paradigm shift of honoring the sovereignty and the sanctity of the Taurus, whether it's in a device or in a human being. So I will keep you posted and let you know as soon as we can let this information out. And we are aligning our networks. You know, we have networks of millions and hundreds of millions of people around the world who would post this very quickly. So I think that time will be coming soon. I'll let you know.
Yeah, and the sooner the better. I've always found that when people are being suppressed for the information that they have, the worst thing you can do is keep it secret.
That's
right. Because if you've got it secret, it means when you're gone, the secret dies with you.
Yes. Well, I don't want to get in the way of a sound legal strategy, and I know that they're collecting evidence that could be used in a criminal case against these suppressive agents, but I know we can come up with a coordinated strategy of the legal, the security, and the media all at once.
Yeah, this would be true. Now, we have a caller in here. Elizabeth, we've only got about 1 minute till break. What's up? What's up?
Oh, hi. Are you going to break or me?
We'll be going to break in about less than a minute. If you want to say something, we can possibly come back to you after it.
Yeah, just real quickly, you know, again, thank you both gentlemen for all your work. Your website is absolutely just spectacular. And that was my only suggestion, is that we have some sort of unified, whatever, organized way when we're attacked. Or arrested, you know, the two women that were just arrested trying to, you know, get into the presidential debate the other night and held for 8 hours. You know, if we had some add on.
Yeah, well, in fact, I've called this, Elizabeth, the media phalanx, okay? And you lock shields, you come together, but only when you really need it, at emergency points. I mean, kind of like the ambulances of the Truth Mover, the tyranny response team. You know, we'll show up in our black uniforms with our badges and stuff like that and start arresting corrupt scumbaggery. We'll be right back after the break with Foster Gamble. Can be more than ever, people. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 3 to 5 Pacific and 6 till 8 Eastern. And I think 4 till 6 Mountain Time. But and in New Zealand, and this is something I wanted to mention two things before we put a question to you, Foster. Have you noticed daylight savings time in the United States is on November the 4th, okay? And the U.S. election for president is on November the 5th, okay? So on November the 4th, you wind your clocks back, you lose an hour as you further go back into darkness. And on November the 5th, remember the 5th of November, which is the anniversary of a dude trying to blow up a corrupt parliament, you will elect the new ruler of the United States to take it into a darker age.
Well, they do love their numbers, don't they? I hadn't realized that. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, man. But another thing, even if that might be the case or whatever, I haven't researched into that. That's just a crazy theory of mine. And you know what one of my biggest fears is, Foster? That people will trust me implicitly.
Yeah.
That I'll become some kind of a cult personality who people won't question. They'll say, Vinny's right about everything. No, bro, no. Anyway, that's just an abdication of personal responsibility to put your full trust of in one source of information. Heck no, man. You've got to do your own research and you've got to make up your own mind.
Yeah, speaking of breaking legacies, that I don't think there's any more important one than that of each one of us taking a stand for thinking for ourselves. So, yeah, expose yourself to informed people like Vinnie Eastwood, but then check it all out for yourself. And when you've come to your own conclusions, then you're going to have the strength of character of a Gandhi or King or something like that, because it's not like they memorize something or they're blindly following some leader. Their thoughts and their speaking and their actions are actually one, and that's really what's possible for all of us.
Now let's talk about leadership in this degree. In Sun Tzu, The Art of War, there was a story whereby a soldier was struck down. And he had a poisonous arrow in his leg. And the general came over to the soldier and he sucked the poison out of the soldier's leg by himself. And the soldier's mother started weeping uncontrollably. And another person asked her, "Why do you cry?" And she said, "Because my son is now dead." And she said, "I don't understand. He just sucked the poison out. He saved his life." And she said, "Yes." And he did the same for my husband. And his devotion to the general was such that he was willing to die for him. And he did. And now my son will die the same way. Wow,
what a story. Well, I think it's a really good example of the misunderstanding. You know, the devotion shouldn't be to another person that would make you blindly go into battle, you know, potentially against innocent people and so forth. But an incident like that should be a wake-up call to the profound nature of the integrity of the human spirit. If someone is actually, you know, willing to help someone else at their own risk, then that's the lesson, not to blindly help someone else, but to look for the incidents where you can. Because basically there's two types of leadership to me. There's leadership by fear of authoritarian control, where you tell people what to do or else. And I don't think that's leadership at all. That's just, you know, domination and control. Real leadership to me happens by inspiration. It happens by acting and speaking in a way that inspires respect and makes someone not want to follow you blindly or just obey you because they subjugate themselves, but that they want to join their own independent efforts with yours as long as it feels like it's got integrity. And frankly, that's what I see happening all over the world, is this whole decentralized awakening that's happening. Is individuals are waking up to their own consciousness, their own power, and linking up together with other individuals who are doing the same, so we can choose to stand next to each other in the phalanx that you were describing, but we're not leaning on each other or trying to control each other's actions.
We're simply watching each other's backs.
Yeah, I like that, yes. Well, and also it's happening, you know, you were talking about the kind of new emerging communities, and I'm seeing that everywhere that I'm traveling. I'm seeing, you know, free towns and free states and eco-villages. And I was just with Jeff Berwick at the Libertopia conference last weekend. And, you know, he's one of the people who's creating his own version of Galt's Gulch down in Chile, where people are coming who are really aware of the critical nature of recognizing the sovereignty of every individual being, and then bringing that to a whole valley where they're creating a community. You know, of course, it's these days you can't really have one of those unless it's off planet that's not, you know, within the boundaries of some so-called nation state. But still, as people are getting together and creating these independent communities, you know, if and when the current power structure comes down, when the economy comes down, as I think that they intend and I think probably will happen, is we're very close, obviously. If instead of getting duped into adopting the subjugation to their police state and their one world government, one world currency, you know, one world police state, all of that, if instead we recognize what's going on and we can use that to emerge as individuals and as voluntary communities, it can be like the green sprouts coming through the concrete, and it can be a decentralized network of truly
out there.
Some allegiance.
Fosse, you've kind of cut out there a little bit. Could you start again? You said we're trying to start up a decentralized network of truly.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yep, yep.
Okay. What's happening, what I see emerging, is a free, voluntary network of sovereign beings who are collaborating based on freedom and based on integrity with one another, rather than based on allegiance to some authoritarian state, you know, or blind allegiance to some charismatic personality or political party.
Mm-hmm. And I want to turn this around as well,
and say that I want people to kind of view me, Foster, as a bad guy. Okay, you know, I want them to think that I'm a liar and I'm a thief and I'm a manipulator and all of that kind of stuff. Although I'm not, and yeah, and you won't see me doing that. If I tell you that I am, you'll be suspicious. So that if ever I became corrupted by power or money or anything of that nature, having pre-warned people that every great man is potentially a dangerous man. Okay, hopefully I'll be reined in and course corrected.
Yeah.
And if I refuse, I would hope that my listeners and loyal fans will expose me and remove me from my position so that I can no longer do any damage.
Yeah, well, that's really the value of having true friends in a free state, in a free condition, because true friends are going to tell you when you're screwing up. You know, they're going to tell you if they don't think that you're telling the truth or you're exaggerating or you're being deceptive or something like that. And I'll tell you, I'll make a pact with you right now, Vinny. Let's do that for each other. And I'm making the same pact with all my friends and acquaintances. And, you know, we've done that with our film and our website. You know, you can see these Thrive debunking websites that are trying to do guilt by association and all that stuff, but they're not attacking any of our facts. They're not attacking anything that's true about Kimberly's and my life, because there that stuff is non-attackable. So what we're committed to, just like you, is not some particular ideology other than the truth and freedom. So if somebody finds something that's inaccurate in our website or in our movie, we say, great, you know, fantastic. If you can prove it to us and we'll check it out, we'll post it tomorrow, because what we're interested in is the emerging truth rather than, you know, assuming some position of knowing it all or being right about everything that we have thought. And through that, we're really blessed to be building a vast network of people who are committed to those same principles rather than some country or some politician or police state.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing the same.
I am. And the exact same thing that you're doing with the Thrive Movement, I want to do for the alternative media. You know, give somebody a Mac and a microphone and a camera, and all of a sudden they can be bigger than the local media, right? And that's what I've done.
Trustworthy. Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. Free association and collaboration of voluntary individuals for the betterment of themselves and humanity, and accepting very harsh truths for the truth that they are. And although it is a bitter pill to swallow, it is the best medicine to eliminate the virus of corruption and scumbaggery from your society. Foster, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, mate.
You are welcome. It's been a real honor to be with you, and I salute the work that you and so many others are doing in exploring what's really going on and getting the truth out. And I guess my final message to people would be just do everything you can to get informed. And then as you're taking action, be as nonviolent as you possibly can, except in self-defense if that's in your only option. And then be relentless, because we have the truth and love and the life force on our side.
It is the strongest thing. A shield of truth can shatter a sword of lies like nobody's business. And I've got this idea, Foster, that we can't come at it from anger trying to destroy our enemies. We need to come at it from love to try and save our allies and our friends and our families. When you protect something, it is far stronger than when you destroy something, in my
opinion.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Thrive Movement, that is Googleable on the CIA and NSA search engines, and you'll also come up with a whole bunch of Thrive debunked websites. Look at those two, you know. It pays to know what's going on both sides of the fence. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.